The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. The spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, which most of you are aware of, and many of you have done the exercises, St. Ignatius gives us many different modes or ways to pray. One is meditation, contemplation, the examination of conscience, the daily examine. But one that you're maybe not as familiar with is this. You take a prayer, like a traditional prayer, the Our Father, Hail Mary, the Creed, Act of Faith, Act of Hope, Act of Charity, and you just take it and take a word at a time and you repeat that word. And you, so to speak, you relish that word. Especially a prayer like the Our Father in which you pray, you probably pray it every day at least 5 times or 6 times. If you go to Mass, you say it, and you say your rosary. It's a good idea to try to say it slowly so you can relish the words. Especially this prayer, because this prayer came from our Lord Himself. So let me give you some ideas on the Our Father, and then try to spend some time taking the Our Father and just dissect it and relish the words. No? Spanish, the word be saboreando, if you speak Spanish. Saboreando. Maybe you don't know Spanish well. It means in English to savor, to relish. Okay, our Father. Jesus could have said my Father. He could have. But he chose to say our Father. How do you interpret that? We should never give in to what is called xenophobia. That's a big college word. You know what that means? Don't be a racist. Can't be a racist. In other words, never look down upon a person because he's a different culture, age, ethnic group, but rather we should love all because we're all sons and daughters of the same Father. Amen? Okay, in heaven. We should have a great longing for heaven. It has to be this way. If we have a cross, sufferings, tribulation, physical suffering, moral suffering, social suffering, emotional suffering, if we recognize that life is very short in comparison with eternity. As St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. And it's over. If during our trials we recognize it's going to be over in a short time, and then if we can persevere, we'll be in heaven forever, I think we can carry the heaviest crosses. But we have to have our eyes. We have to have our eyes fixed on heaven. As Fulton Sheen says in one of his writings, he said that there are two men in jail. One, he looked up and he saw the beautiful starry sky and of all of its splendor. Another looked on, he saw the worms in the mud. They're in the same place, right? One looked up and saw the majesty of God, the other saw the worms. So we should be looking not at the worms, but looking at the starry sky that we call heaven. Amen? Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Nothing to do with Halloween, okay? Now go to the Spanish. You got santificado, say tu nombre, right? This is principle and foundation. It's related to praise. We are called to praise the name of God. And as St. Augustine says, make sure that you praise the name of God by your lips, but also by your life. Because if you praise God with your lips, and then with your life you're contradicting it, you are a first-class hypocrite. As they say in Spanish, escribir con la mano, borrar con el codo. But a good way to praise the name of God is by Mass. What is the purpose of Mass? I'll tell you. Praise God the Father, the offering of God the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the primary purpose of Mass. Is praising God. Thy kingdom done, thy will be done. Kingdom. You give a long talk on that. Where is the kingdom of God? Hello? Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you? Were you baptized? Are you in the state of grace? Well, we hope so, right? Another place where the kingdom of God is the tabernacle. My hands during the consecration. When someone helps a poor person, there's a kingdom of God. Where two or more are gathered in my midst, there's the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of interpretations of kingdom. It's in heaven, it's on earth, it's in your heart, if you are living in the state of grace. Amen? Okay, thy will be done. About 3 years ago, Father Larry gave an excellent course on the Divine Comedy by Dante, and some of you participated in that. You probably remember when Father Larry was going with Dante and Virgil from hell to purgatory, where he's entering to heaven. Do you remember what was on the arches of heaven? You remember what was in the arches of hell, right? Whoever enters here, abandon all hope. But in heaven, on the arches, it says this, in your will is my peace. I like that. In your will is my peace. So if we want to have peace, we have to do the will of God. We have to do the will of God. What is the Augustinian definition of peace? Peace is the tranquility of order. Peace is the tranquility of order. Is your life in order? Más o menos? Now is the time to put your house in order in Lent, right? Now is the time. If you really study that word order, be honest, there's a lot of disorder we have in our mind. You notice in the morning prayer how often we're praying for purity of our mind? I'm noticing that more and more. Is that Lent is a time to purify our minds. I told you one of my father's favorite proverbs. Good dads should teach their kids proverbs. Good proverbs, no? And it's this. The thought is the father of the deed. That's a good one, isn't it? The thought is the father of the deed. What you think, you have an idea that's conceived and it's engendered in our actions. Because before you do something, you think about it, right? Many of us are impulsive, maybe we don't. But our thought starts first and then it's translated into an interior decision in our heart, then it's translated into an action. Thy kingdom done, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. How do you interpret that? Three interpretations. How great this prayer is. When our Lord composes prayer, he's thinking about the whole person. We have, in the human person, we have a body, we have a mind, we have a soul. We're called to nourish those three different elements. Okay, the first part, give us this day our daily bread. We're begging for physical health so that you can work hard and pay the bills. And if your wife, not to waste the money either, right? Okay? Amen or oh me? Work hard, your health. You work hard. Not only, you know, don't seek for welfare. No, work hard, no? Work hard, make money, provide for your family. That's our Father. The physical sense. Then the mental sense is this. Most of you went to Mass on Sunday. Have not hit the confessional, okay? What was the gospel? You don't even remember. It was the temptations of Christ. Okay, one of the temptations was to turn the stones into bread. Now in the Lucan version you don't have the whole phrase from the Old Testament, but Matthew got, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we're asking to be nourished in our mind. I once went to a Maronite ordination in Rome. They're Catholic, but they're a different rite. I remember, probably 40 years ago, I remember three or four things. That all of the guys had beards. They used a lot of incense, a lot of incense. You think that I'd use incense? Man, they went to town. But I remember during, before the ordination, this is what happened. I thought it was comical. I thought it was kind of ludicrous. Why are they putting a Bible on the head of this young man? Now I really like that idea. Why do you think he did that? So that the Word of God would sink into his mind. And what is the principal obligation of a priest? The two P's. What is it? Prayer and preaching. Remember the two P's. The two principal obligations of the priest are to pray. Pray for the people. That's what we're doing now, the Mass, right? And to preach. What am I doing now? I'm preaching. The two P's, huh? And finally, the other nourishment is our soul, and that's the bread of life, Holy Communion. So next time you pray the Our Father, it's going to be much more rich because of my explanation, right? Working hard with your body to provide. Filling your mind with the Word of God. Filling your soul with the bread of life. Amen? Give us our trespasses. And give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses. What does that mean? You know, at least on the East Coast we have this, these big signs on the lawns, do not trespass, okay? Angry pit bull, but angry owner even more so, okay? If we want to be forgiven, then we have to forgive. Otherwise, you're not going to be forgiven. Here's a question. Is there any person in the world, maybe someone's even dead, that you haven't forgiven? Hello? That's why we have Lent. You got to work on it. Any person in the world that you have not forgiven, Jesus is going to be holding back his forgiveness until you forgive that person. But never forget, forgiveness is not in the emotions. Forgiveness is an act of will. You're not called to like everyone, but to love. And there's a big difference. Liking depends on your emotions. But love is an act of the will. There might be someone that really hurt you. And just the thought of that person causes you repugnance. You're just repelled by that person that hurt you so much. But if you can pray for that person, that's a sign that you've forgiven him. Because the emotions lag behind the will. They lag behind. The emotions do not always harmonize with the will. And then finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you're an expert in Greek, maybe some of you are expert in Greek, it's the noun, it's the evil one. That evil one is the devil. All of you have a guardian angel, right? But all of you have a devil. Who's your devil? Do you recognize your devil? All of us should know the devil that goes after us. So how are we going to conquer the devil? Turn to Saint Michael the Archangel. Use holy water. Wear your scapular. Invoke the blood of Christ. My mother would have a prayer that I kind of like. She said when she's temptation, be gone, Satan, enter Mary. I like that. Do you like that? Be gone, Satan, enter Mary. So next time you're tempted, beg the Blessed Virgin Mary to crush the head of the enemy. Amen? So hopefully this preaching today is going to enrich your love for the Our Father. This is the greatest prayer that was ever taught, because it was taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So spend some time today dissecting it the way that I've done it. If you want to hear this homily again, go onto Facebook and you can listen to it again. But really try to go deep into this wonderful prayer so that when we die, the Heavenly Father will say, welcome home to my home, the home of the saints. Amen. Thank you.